I'm a good company here.
We're good?
All right.
Thanks, Rob.
Isn't that fun?
All right, we'll call the meeting to order at, it looks like 9:35, if we could get a roll call.
Andrew Everood.
Here.
Peter Leeds.
Speaking.
Jason Madison. David Schwartz.
Here.
Schwartz. Randy West.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. All right, this is, it looks like we have, let the record reflect, we have no members of the public. You're not bringing anything to us as a member of the public.
He's just observing.
Just
this is Leroy
fun.
Brady.
Yeah, Leroy, yeah.
Board. Okay.
Yeah.
He thought today was
it's super
Legislation and Rules Committee, so.
That's because they're talking to
him. Well,
right.
Okay,
this
just
a lot more
it
no
is.
Members of the public are present.
Oh, yes.
And if we could move on to adoption of the minutes.
Mr. Chairman, I do make a motion that we adopt the minutes as written.
I'll second.
Any discussion? Any opposition to the motion? Hearing none, the motion passes. Okay. Next item is our review of the rules change we have proposed.
Mr. Chairman, if I may say that staff did a wonderful job with this.
Thank you.
Now, I mean, I would say word for word, except for a few of Randy's wordsmithing.
As usual, I found a couple of really minor typos.
Minor typos.
I know.
Okay. Well, I also wanted to add something to the discussion, because what you're probably looking at, I did something screwy to one of them. So are we on 102 first?
Yes, our 430-102.
Yeah. Okay. I added number 5, a definition of the report checklist supplement. Did you guys notice that?
Oh, I didn't notice that.
I did notice that. And the only thing that I would say about that is it will facilitate the timely processing of the applications. Do we need that in there?
Why not?
We can certainly add that, yeah.
As a rule, though?
As a definition, as a tool designed to assist home inspector applicants.
I wish it said they're required to do it, but I know we can't do that.
All right, well then I have no qualms about it. I just thought it was odd to have that statement like that in the definition or a rule.
Because you're thinking the applicants will never see it anyway, or?
Well,
that's generally, hey,
here's why I added it. Because we get a lot of applications that don't include this, mm-hmm. and I've heard you guys say repeatedly that it would make it so much faster to review the applications if they did use it, but we can't mandate their use unless it's in a rule or statute, so I stuck it in. But that doesn't mean it has to stay. If you guys don't like it or you think it's unduly burdensome, because we are looking at that as a problem from the legislature to get people registered, then this is the best time to discuss that. If you don't like the definition or the language that's in here, let's banter it about and see if we can come up with a better definition or explanation.
Is the goal to mandate it?
Is the what?
The goal to mandate it?
I propose that it is, but that doesn't mean you guys have to agree.
I would say it's a critical document, don't you? but I don't know. Do we always get them every single time?
Oh, no.
No.
Yeah. Less than half.
So the goal would be to maybe have that in there and make them completed as well if it's incomplete.
I liken it to the Binzer report, now the spuds on the job, to be honest with you, the funny papers, okay? Sunday's funny papers, only because most of them that I
put that in.
most of them that I read is just a lot of hogwash. I mean, what they say is on a certain page generally is not on that page.
I noticed that.
So, personally, I don't read them. I use that form to check their inspection report, and only if I run into a head, you know, a wall and can't find something, then I'll read it, and then that just tells me that it's not there. Okay,
well,
and they tell me where it is.
The ladies have gotten a lot of complaints from evaluators who are saying if it's not there, they won't evaluate
the app for us.
I'll still do it. It just takes longer because everything, you
personally,
never know.
Personally, I don't look
different.
At anything but their inspection report unless I absolutely can't find something, then I'll refer to it. And truthfully, 8 out of 10 times, it's not there when they say it's there. That doesn't bother me as much as the part that if it says it will facilitate the timely processing of the application, what if they're expecting that to mean, like, they're going to get their application processed by tomorrow or something, you know? I mean, what does timely processing actually mean?
That's a good point.
You know?
Or do you want to just change it from will to may?
May would be much better.
No, that's good.
Okay.
Just to manage expectations. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What if, since we're kind of on this topic, what if we, remember we came up with the line-by-line meeting the standards kind of report format? What if we mandated something like that where they could cut and paste from whatever software they use or whatever method they use, and they must have a standard document? I'd rather see that than this. That would make it very fast. You don't like it?
I don't either, really.
Because it's not what they're going to use when
right.
they get out in the field.
Right.
But at least you're demonstrating that they know how to meet every one of them. If they're not taught how to meet every one of those.
Well, that's why filling it out is good for them, too. Because if they bother to fill it out properly,
right.
they go, oh, gosh, I didn't say functional flow when
right.
I go back and alter the report before we ever saw it.
Yeah, but to teach them is the parallel inspections job. You know, the 30 parallels is to teach them how to do that. The report checklist supplement is only to check to see if they did. You see? So I don't think we should use it as a teaching tool as much as a checking tool.
It just seems weird to throw something in rules that is an optional document, realistically. Although, it'll still be an optional document if we move forward with this.
Right.
Isn't that correct?
Yeah.
It's
it says it's
mandated.
A tool designed to assist, and it also says it does not replace the standards. It's not a substitute for the current version of the standards.
It's a good paragraph. I don't have a problem with it. It just seems weird to be non-mandating suggestion for them. I don't know if rules normally does that.
Well, you know what rules do? They define terms of art that are used in the practice.
Mm-hmm.
So we have been using this as a tool
that's right
for,
where it is.
You know, a long time, but we've only ever really put it on the website. We haven't defined it in our practice act.
Can we put quotes on report checklist supplement
uh-huh.
so it matches those others?
Yep.
Then, and,
I changed the it to may and...
Yep.
And then I say, wait.
Okay, that sounds good.
I mean, and this is just going to be, you know, this is our first draft. This is our first effort. I'm hoping that when the board looks at this after the L&R committee has its teeth sunk in, that maybe it won't look exactly like this.
Sure.
And then we have to send it all to the governor and ask for permission to, you know, and then we'll open the rules docket and maybe changes will be made then. So
okay.
I just kind of wanted to capture something initially because I think we should define it. I think it isn't mandatory, but it's there as a tool. So at least that's the intent of this language.
I like it.
That makes sense.
Maybe
change will facilitate to May?
Yeah, that's what they've been talking about.
So you also added quotation marks around report
yeah.
checklist supplement,
mm-hmm.
and you forgot to quotation mark at the end of standards of professional practice.
Thank you, Randy.
Look
excellent
at Randy.
Catch.
He's a little grammarian.
I know.
I think he puts it in a spell check.
Good job.
You know, anything else on this one?
Well, I don't know. I just circled one other thing because up above where it says the parallel inspector has met this criterion, I thought maybe that was supposed to be a criteria. I thought criterion was a type of car, but I'm not a lawyer, so maybe that is a real word.
Criterion should be singular.
Should it
be
should.
What? A
single
criteria.
Criteria.
Criterion, criteria.
See? Okay.
All right, you should
I'm not sure I've ever
too.
Used the word in my life. But
hand it over, Ren.
Criterion, okay.
Well, but there's more than one.
That's it. That's all I found.
No, I'm...
Where are you looking, Randy?
He's in
how
the
far
top,
up above?
Parallel inspector.
I'm up here. Is
okay.
Towards the end there?
He has to be in good standing. He has to have not received disciplinary action. He has to be certified for 5 years. 250 feed pay inspections make that criteria, in my opinion.
Yeah, I actually agree. I think it's multiple things they have to...
Mm-hmm.
Way to go, Randy.
Boy, he's
killing it today. He's on. He's in the flow.
Had these criteria.
It was simply because it was a tongue twister.
I just copied what some gentleman had given me.
Oops.
I'm sorry.
Oh, that was you.
Well, I'm afraid to say too much after I came up with that IEEG stuff. So.
So can I have your... Thank you.
Don't be blaming staff or anything.
Appreciate it.
There's always somebody in this committee who made a mistake. Okay, I like that.
Anything else that we've been using that we need to define or that you want to define in here?
Actually, B... Of this section, the next item we're going to go through is just talking about verbal home inspection reports. And I believe our reference to a home inspection report, you know, you must deliver your client a written report. I think that actually comes from the standards. Is that?
It does. It's in the standards.
2.1.
Yeah.
It's in the standards.
Yep. It's 2.1 in the standards. That's right.
If we were to really put a stake in the ground that you must be a written inspection report, is that sufficient that it exists in the standards and it does not need to be elsewhere?
Well, we do have to do the write a home inspection report according to the standards, or inspect homes according
I
to the standards.
I think it should be in the rule to make it more clear.
And I thought so too. So
2-2C,
and then
report.
There has historically been, and there could come a day soon, that there's a desire to have abbreviated home inspections, which we historically have,
poo-poo.
I remember that, it's not allowed and you can't call it a home inspection report. So
we've gone over this a few times. You did it with Tony when he was doing the ones that didn't have any power on an auction.
Auctions.
And then we had somebody else come in and we,
investors.
At that time we said you have to have in boldface at the on the front page, this is not a home inspection that complies with BTR, blah, blah.
So I don't know if we want... Just to give explanation, I canceled the last meeting because there was a critical real estate meeting that went on among the people who recently changed the standard real estate contract that virtually all homes are sold using as the standard AAR, Arizona Association of Realtors, real estate contract. They changed that. It went into effect February 1st. I went to a bunch of meetings and then had to attend that one because it had the people who wrote the changes, and they did a pretty major change that I thought would affect us, and I've already had a request to do verbal inspections, so I know it's going there, and I know there'll be requests to do abbreviated, not include everything we require, and that everything gets real messy. Verbals we have to not allow. That's just...
Why would you do a verbal? I mean, that's just...
I've done extra
witness
cases.
Just send your card out
case.
To all the attorneys in town and
exactly.
Say, here I am.
Just write them checks now if you're going to do verbal. But beyond that, the board can't deal with it. We can't deal with the complaint where two people are arguing about what was said.
Right.
You know, it
sure.
just...
Right.
It
sure.
can't be done. So if we think there's a place to put it in rule, I think it'd be solid to...
Well, I mean, 247 talks about the major content areas of...
A through J.
Right,
that's right where it should go, huh?
Of a home inspection, right?
A home inspection wasn't defined in the rules? You never found it anywhere?
Well...
I can't imagine a home inspection wasn't defined in the rules. Do we have a rule book?
I thought it was, and it had just about the same thing in there.
Doug is saying it's in the statute.
Yeah. And it had, I might not have had the fireplaces and swimming pools, but it had the rest of them in there.
So...
Yeah, statute. It may be in statute.
And I think that in the statute it also says a...
Let me get my...
Fee
book.
Paid is in there as well.
Yeah.
A fee paid home inspection.
So if it's in the statute, you don't have to redefine it.
Right.
I don't think it specifies a written report, though, but maybe it does.
I didn't bring my book with me. Did you bring my book?
I didn't bring mine either. I'm sorry.
With the rules?
Yeah, your statute.
I actually brought one. This one's pretty old.
Oh, yeah, but that should be. There's all the papers in there.
Rules.
No, I don't. General provisions, type of statute.
I got it right here, but somewhere.
What does it say, home inspection?
It's close enough.
The one I had, I had colored pages that referred to everything that we did.
Well, I'm not that high-tech.
Home inspection rules and standards committee, huh?
It's probably going to be under 30.
Yeah, it is. Home inspection is declined.
That was under the glossary.
Okay, so home inspection means a visual analysis for the purpose of providing a professional opinion of the building, any reasonably accessible installed components, and the operation of the building systems, including the controls normally operated by the owner for the following components of the residential building of four units or less. It has the 11 areas of concern. And the home inspection report,
it's 18, yeah.
A visual analysis, professional opinion.
Doesn't reference a report.
For compensation.
Prepared and issued after a query describes. Doesn't say anything about this report that is necessary.
Right. It doesn't mandate it.
What, Peter?
Being required.
So I think we should in rule mandate it.
They define home inspection, they define the report, but they didn't say that the report was mandated.
But the standards say it.
The standards do.
The standards 2.2F say you must give a written report.
But the definition doesn't reference the standards either, so it's not in rule.
It isn't. It's in rule that.
But it says that we have to follow the standards.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, the standards are in rule.
For registration, but.
2.2C, submit a written report.
The standards are in rule.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yep.
And then, you know, so it's in the rule as required for registration, but.
Not as a matter of practice, yeah.
So maybe we want to put it in rule 102, right?
As a definition?
Yeah. You know, parallel inspection, peer reviewer, we want to put in home inspection report, as well as report checklist supplement, as mandated product that's produced as a result of. Do you guys think that's the best place?
I think in definition, yeah.
I think definitions might be solid to ease it in there, to clarify that it's required. And that it must maybe, well, would we reiterate the same areas, I think it should.
I think that we should define the home inspection, define home inspection report, making them mandatory, and having them reference the standards in the rules. I think we should go all three routes.
Okay, so home inspection report.
That could be right above the report checklist supplement.
Right.
Yeah, it should be.
It should be five.
Make a five and a six there for. But you know, we deleted all these original definitions, automatic safety controls, and because we said they're in the standards, and they're automatically incorporated because they're in the standards.
Right.
So basically, delivering a written report's automatically incorporated as well, because it's in the standards.
But even the wording in the standards is just a hair weak, you know.
Just because it says deliver a written report?
Yeah, it says inspector shall, before the inspection report is delivered, enter into a written agreement, so.
No, go down to C.
Submit a written report to the client. They shall submit a written report to the client.
So that gets rid of the verbal right there.
Yeah, so the standards are pretty solid there.
Well, are they solid enough that you're.
I don't know, legal opinion.
Get your wallet out.
Read that to you. It says shall submit a written report.
Yeah. So before the inspection's delivered, they must enter into a written agreement, and then C, submit a written report. So inspector shall submit a written report to the client, which covers all these sections, so that's all the technical sections.
Yeah. I guess, I mean, Randy, like you said, if we're okay with the standard saying what they say and cutting them out of this definition,
then just
I'm always concerned about the potential for conflicts between the statutes and the rules and the standards. Mm-hmm. So if I think we can be okay with this and not worry about that.
You don't want to add it?
I wouldn't add it.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, that sounds good. Because if you get it in multiple places, your risk goes higher.
Yeah, and then the statute might change a little bit at one point.
Yeah.
Okay, I like that.
Then we just have to know we're going to take a stand on that. I've already said that. I stood up in that meeting and
I'm proud of
you. And I said you're going to possibly see realtors asking home inspectors to do verbal reports because they want to know the condition. They just don't want a document sitting out there.
Because then I said that it's not required.
Dave Schwartz.
I spoke it before I knew the real...
Not Dave Schwartz, head of the committee.
I did
committee.
Tell them I am not speaking for the board.
Okay, good.
I always say that because I know you people will be...
I think we ought to allow it on a short-term basis. It will clear up the riffraff in our industry as they get sued out of business.
So just so we know, I don't know.
Okay, so we're not adding it, but we are adding report checklist supplement as a definition.
Yeah.
Because that's a creation you guys made and is not in the standards.
Right.
Perfect.
Good call.
Okay.
All right, so you may be able to conclude this, huh?
Are we done with 247?
I think we are.
Okay.
That was very good.
Yeah.
And then,
Randy, nothing on 247?
Yeah, Randy, no, that's all in there.
What do you think of the change to 301.01?
Wait a minute. No, that was 102. Have we done 247?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're
kind
right.
Kind of flipped between the two.
I didn't have anything in 247 either,
okay.
Though, so...
You, Peter?
I just had a question. The Arizona State Board for Private Post-Secondary Education and Distance Education Accrediting Commission are the update now?
That's what Dave mm-hmm. researched for us, yeah.
Now. Okay, cool. On there, because we didn't know last time. Very nice.
I'll Google them to make sure they still exist this week.
I'm not done with 247, though.
Okay.
I had a question down on item number 10. This would be B10, C10 rather, where it says, and reports on at least one immediate major repair as defined in the standards.
Yeah.
Right.
Along with the report checklist supplement. So what we're doing is we're asking a home inspector to inspect a house, and that house needs to have an immediate major repair.
They can dream it up if they want to. We just need to demonstrate that.
Well, we don't want to go there. These are real inspections.
The reason we did that is because we get reports where there's literally nothing wrong, and we don't know if that's true or not. But the reason we did that was because they have to recommend a professional. And we wanted to make sure that if they saw something that hit that major defect, immediate major repair criteria, that they had something in the report, even if they typed it in for that one item, that said recommend licensed electrician or plumber or whatever.
Yeah. Everybody starts. If word got around, you just submit a report with everything satisfactory. You're through the system.
Which is what we get sometimes. I mean,
yep.
You read a report and there's not a single thing wrong with this 23-year-old house.
Yeah, so okay. In your experience, guys, what's the percentage of inspections that have at least one immediate major?
Well, every one of them. Yeah.
Okay, so it's not...
Not a big deal.
Okay.
Missing out would come by six of major defects.
The only ones
defect,
we've ever seen that didn't have an immediate major repair were on an application for a license.
Yep.
Of course. All right.
Okay, they're still in business.
So then, Peter, anything
yes.
else on that one?
No, I'm good here now. Thank you very much.
Good there. All right,
so 301.
301.01. So...
So...
This was...
Yeah,
we bantered this about, you guys.
Getting rid of substantive policy statement number 8 was was one.
Go ahead, Randy. Lay him out.
He doesn't have anything written on that.
No.
You don't? Okay, correction on number 2 is spelled with 2 E's, which I think is nice for the E's.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Effects on the scope of the home inspection.
And then there's a missing, my brain is not working today. The end of one.
Yeah, marketing agreement, marketing services agreement.
Okay.
And a parenthesis. Now, this actually brings us right back to the termite question.
I hate the termite question.
I know. We've now generalized all of our substantive policy statements into here. I did a very good job until someone says, can I...
No, that one remains. That one's not going away.
That substantive policy statement stays?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Then I'm happy.
We only got rid of the one about the real estate company's pay-to-play program.
All right, good. Good,
that's
good.
Number eight. That's the only one we got rid of.
And then we have the "or have any financial interest in the performance of any repairs." Yeah, we do allow the home inspectors to recommend other people, right? We've gone that route now?
Yes.
All right, as much as it's a crazy business decision to do so.
I don't, yeah.
I don't.
I just tell them I can't.
I tell them the board won't let me. But the gets me
but
off the
just
hook.
In your own opinion.
Right.
As an independent
as a
right.
member
home
of the
inspector.
Public.
Right.
Well, they don't know I'm on the board. I just on the committee. Or have, however, recommending people, okay, no. That would all have to be proven. We do that on a case-by-case basis. I withdraw my statements.
See, I've got the same problem with the partial inspections. Because we've had attorneys like Jim Eckley say, now my question was, they call me to look at the cracks in the garage, and I walk past the gas water heater on the floor.
Right.
And he always used that term about a cop can't step over a dead body to go invest a burglary. I don't know exactly what the term he used was. But that's why I would never do a partial inspection, because...
You can't ignore
exactly.
What you're seeing.
And then they're either mad at you because they didn't call you here to look at the water heater, or the house blows up, and then they sue you because you didn't tell them about the water heater.
Yeah, that's why you would never do any of this. Anybody who knows anything about
lawyers.
This industry.
I'm gonna count that as kind of an indirect
backdoor
slam.
It's really not
about
lawyers.
It was
well done, though.
I said he gave us good advice, I thought.
That would be number two tonight?
Two.
No, that's not really the lawyer's problem. This is the issue with...
That's our next agenda item, if we could hold off on
okay.
this one. Because I actually want to revisit that.
Mm-hmm.
Can we conclude this...
Yeah.
Changes. Unless we're going to reserve the right to come back to it if we think of something like that.
Okay.
That sounds like an attorney term there.
Yeah, really.
Reserve the right to recall this witness.
Very nice.
But as it relates to what we have in front of us, any other changes?
I want to just say that staff did an excellent job with that.
Yeah, I agree.
That was tough.
Yeah. Thank you.
That was
tough. You guys nailed it.
And you did nail it.
So, can we get a motion regarding the rules changes?
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I do make a motion that we suggest to the board that we make these changes to the rules as written with the minor modifications made today.
Second.
Good. Any discussion? Any opposition to the passage of the motion? Hearing none, the motion passes. Thanks again. That was
very nice.
Nice to get it integrated properly. Hopefully it'll go through smoothly. You can call me if I have to go to a meeting or something, or rant, or I mean, any of these guys. Okay, agenda item 5B, discussion and recommendation on verbal/abbreviated home inspection reports. So,
why do you think that realtors are going to start asking for this? Now, I know the change in the real estate contract, and they basically took out all the warranted items by a seller and kind of threw a lot more liability on the home inspectors.
Yeah.
But I didn't catch anything that would encourage verbal inspections.
So that is kind of the most major change was, historically, when real estate is sold in Arizona, there were some things by contract that were considered seller warranted items. The seller must deliver the home in good condition on some
heating's got to work, roof's
heating,
got an
cooling, plumbing, some of these other major areas. And so the realtors took that out, and it does not exist in over 30 over 30 of the states don't have that in there, so it's not like this is going rogue or anything. But it becomes a point that everybody's arguing about, because whether it's functioning is debatable, and whether it's included in a general term like plumbing is debatable, and so it became these arguing points that they got sick of. So the realtors and the players there eliminated it, and then I got wind that the highest level instructor who now teaches at ASU that is teaching all these real estate classes was starting to tell them that, tell brokers and that too, that you're going to want to get pre-listing inspections on every property because this is going to be a disaster and blah, blah, blah. And so I went and met with him to describe some of the problems with pre-listing inspections. They're not a panacea for this, and he got it and probably stopped teaching that. But then this other meeting came up, and I went to that, and I warned them that because most of the people in the room were brokers and company owners and office managers, and I said, you're going to see realtors that want to know the condition of the house, they just don't want a written document. You know, because then it's definitely disclosable item. So that's where that came from. I've already had a request to do them. I've done an expert witness case defending a home inspector that did it, and you can't win. You cannot win that case. And then when you project out, if we had a complaint here, I got nothing. You know, what do you do? There's the buyer and the realtor, so you got two people versus one, or, you know, I don't know how you sort that out. So I'm definitely worried about that. But then there's also the potential for abbreviated inspections, which we kind of did allow in the past. It just doesn't exist in documentation anywhere. We just experienced it when it came through.
Well, we took it on a case by case. Tony came in once, and he had investors that wanted to bid on a house, and the utilities were not going to be on, and they could only see it Sunday from 8 to 12. He can't do an inspection on a house with no utilities on. And so basically what we told him is, you know, bold-faced, capitalized, italicized, red print, whatever on the front, this is not a home inspection report. It does not comply with the, you know, BTR standards of practice.
We had that in a substantial powers and statement also somewhere at one time, although I noticed that most of ours...
We never put that in writing. And however, you know, you're allowed to leave things out if requested
by the client.
So that's where we kind of had to fall on that.
And I know home inspectors that do that. If they're asked to come out at the electric and inspect the heating, they actually, that 2-2D, where it says, you know, you don't have to inspect something if the client requests it. So they have a form that says, a client requests me not to inspect the roof, the furnace, the air conditioner, and list everything else in the report. To me, that's still...
If it's signed by the client.
Yeah, but it's still...
But this is all business. I don't see why this would come on into this forum. It's not a home inspection.
Just, if it's not a home inspection, where's the delineation? Because this board can't deal with it if it's not a home inspection.
Right. It's got to be fee paid. It doesn't necessarily have to be for a buyer. It has to be a pre-listing or
something else. It has to meet the standards. Right. When does it stop meeting the standards?
When it doesn't. For instance, we let them eliminate all these systems out of their home inspection report with a reason, and that reason needs to be documented. The client told me not to.
Okay? It says in your report, if you did not inspect something that was required, you have to say it was not and a reason why.
Right.
Then the next item says you don't have to inspect anything if this client asks you not to. So you don't have to have a reason other than the client asked me not to.
My point. And so that reason would have to be documented for this guy to do his job. And that's why I say this is a business decision. If the guy isn't smart enough to document everything that makes this not a home inspection report, then we...
A realtor, and the realtor says, I want to kind of do this on all my listings, but all I want is, you know, and you just carve up what home inspection is.
You're going to have to write it all up.
But, you know, I still don't understand.
It's a business.
I still don't understand why people would do it, because if you go in and turn on the furnace and say, yes, it works, but you didn't go around and check this air supply in every room, mm-hmm. and then you give a written report, you're still going to get the call saying, hey, you said this thing works, and, mm-hmm. you know, it's not blowing out properly, or it's not heating properly, or...
I think that won't happen as much as, like, if I was the realtor, I have a real estate license, by the way, and so I would say I just want the major items looked at. I want heating, cooling, plumbing, electrical, and the roof or something, which is fine, but then it gets passed along as a home inspection report. My home inspector did it. So, I mean, I've read rules from, like, Illinois, and they'll tell you how big the font must be. When, you know, for the front of your report and every page on the report.
All right, Dave, I'm going to say what you said and go one step farther. The real estate class in Prescott for the realtors recommended pre-listing inspections and recommended that the listing agents or selling agents give a copy of that report to the buyers.
Right.
As their disclosure.
Home inspection report.
So if you do a partial pre-listing inspection, that's going to get passed on to the buyer.
Absolutely.
They're going to think they have a home inspection report.
Absolutely. That's what I'm worried about.
Well, that's what the realtors want, basically, to keep
exactly.
us out of it.
That's where we have a big problem, because when they want something, they can make stuff happen.
And that's why I say I don't think we should okay any type of partial inspection. I mean, they're good. They're playing with the rules now and saying, okay, we're excluding this, and this, which was not the intent. The intent was, you know, if there's a hail damaged roof that's already been paid for, the client can say you don't have to inspect the roof.
Yeah,
it's already paid for.
It's getting replaced next week.
It wasn't meant to eliminate 9 of the 10 things you're supposed to inspect.
So do you delineate it by you can only eliminate a certain number, or, you know, I don't know how you solve this is the problem.
You do nothing. That's how you solve it. You let that
player.
Inspection, that partial inspection come into here, staff will either identify it as not a home inspection and kick it back and say you got to go someplace else, it's not in this form, or it'll go into an EAC committee meeting and we'll ask the guy, if they feel that it was, we'll ask the guy why he didn't tell them that it wasn't, and then the matter will fly, you know, I mean, but I don't think that we need to do anything about it.
Well, I think I misspoke. The board should probably be involved. If a complaint came in and it was some abbreviated report, you know, even though, you know, you may not define it anymore as a home inspection report, I think the board it's the conduct of a home inspector. If it were passed off as a home inspection report somehow and he was at fault, I think the board should look at that.
Well, it's also like an ethical issue.
Yeah.
Well, was he at fault? If he was at fault, then I would say, yes, we have jurisdiction. But if it was the realtor who says, hey, look at this, I got you a home inspection, he gives it to a third party.
And that's what's going to happen.
That's what will happen.
But then that guy's going to be in here because that buyer thinks that they've got a home inspection report, and anybody can file a complaint. So when they call Peter, and Peter says, I'm sorry, that was a partial inspection for the seller. That was 6 months ago. I've got no liability to you whatsoever. They can still come in here and file a complaint against you.
Right, but anybody by the name of Peter would have had it written right on. It was.
Anybody who's initial when Peter leads, maybe.
So I don't think that we need to regulate it, to be honest with you. It's outside the purview of home inspections. And you know, it's going to show up, and guys are going to do it, but every time they do, if it comes as a complaint, well then, they know that they need to protect themselves. I still believe this is in the business realm, not in the regulatory realm.
Unless you were to mandate that if something gets removed from the scope of work, then you have to put a statement in
right.
at the front that says this is not a full home inspection report.
If something's removed,
like
they
that.
Have to state.
What?
If they did inspect something that's required, they have to say it's not. And a reason why it was not inspected. And that's different from the one about the client. It says, state any systems and components so inspected which were found... Oh, wrong one.
Up above.
Where is it? Designated which were present at the time of the inspection and were not inspected, and a reason why they were not inspected. So it's already in the standards that if you didn't inspect the furnace, you got to say why.
Well, that's to bring it into the purview of a home inspection, but these people are trying to get away with not calling it a home inspection.
Well, then, like you said, then they're going to kill themselves. They're going to find out that their E&O's not going to cover them because it wasn't really an inspection with a signed agreement and client. I mean, it's like you said, we're going to weed them out pretty quick with that.
I don't think we ought to put a rule in here for all the Jamos that are in the industry.
Jamos.
anybody who is in the industry as a good home inspector understands the standards and understands that if he does a retracted or a protracted inspection, then he's going to need to cover his own business by statements in what he does. And if he's doing it verbally, it's like that purple head on TV. They're just, you know, I could not understand that.
This is why you're here, Leroy, is to enjoy Peter. He's often
a star. To quote him.
Yeah, get some. Well, I mean, I don't see it as totally sinister where they're trying to pass this along. That could happen, but it also could be what the market's demanding, and maybe there's a place for that, and we don't want to restrict a person's right to work. I just think that the client should have a heads up, like say on the front page, you do have to write, this is not a complete home inspection report or something, so that there's a normal person on the street can understand that even if they exclude one thing, that's got to go on front. I don't think that's unreasonable.
Or somewhere, right? Or somewhere. Not necessarily in front, but or somewhere, right?
But you can't do it. I mean, if you exclude one thing and you're still complying with the standards, it can be
a home inspection. You're right. Then it is a home inspection.
If you explain why.
Right.
Yeah, I'm just saying this is not a complete home inspection report. The word complete being operative there.
But there's a... Then it seems like there's a real blurry line between partial home inspection reports that comply with the standards because you've explained why you haven't touched on a couple items versus, I think, what you're talking about. You're going in for a limited purpose.
Or anything in between. I don't see why we wouldn't let the client know that this doesn't actually meet, this is not a complete inspection report. By virtue of them deciding they don't want it?
But they already have to. We're not changing anything. That they already have to do that. If they do a partial inspection, like in a house with no utilities, they have to put right on the front, this is not a home inspection.
Where does it define that?
I can pull up this substantial policy statement off my computer and send it to you. I'm sure that I wrote one.
Maybe we didn't ever actually pass it because...
It might not have made it through the board.
Really?
Okay.
But we did recommend it to the board. I can
something
get it.
Along these lines?
Exactly.
And it actually said boldface on the front page.
Let's just revisit this. It's not like it's emergency or anything. So
there's always an asterisk, though, that comes from Peter Leeds.
Asterisk, you gotta watch out.
He is the king of asterisks. There's no question about that.
I think one of the most memorable meetings was where the discussion... between using I period E period or E period.
I'm sorry. That was me.
For quite
wow, really? You know, I got to tell you what happened. I sent a report off to my clients, and they sent me a letter back, and they said that they were both English professors at some Ivy League school, and that they only had 3 red marks on my entire report. They didn't say, you know, thanks for inspecting the roof and the furnace. They just said that we only found 3 typos, and one of them was that stupid EGIE. So they explained it to me. So I went into my report and changed all my IEs to EG.
Oh, boy. That'll save you, actually.
Yeah.
That was fun.
That was fun.
But we were able
and
to
when
get
we
it
get rid of the asterisk once and for all, I'll be a very happy camper.
Now when you started bringing something up before, I said, if you're going to bring that up, I'm going to bring up asterisk. Okay. It really gets you upset.
Yeah. I mean, just to add a little fuel to that fire, mm-hmm. I think anything a certified home inspector authors is a home inspection report with exclusions.
Right.
I mean, it may not be, in your opinion, complete, but maybe it couldn't have been because there wasn't a hot water heater or there wasn't an appliance. But I think they're still within the standard if they say there are exclusions in my report because XYZ weren't present.
But see,
as long as XYZ is complete.
But you're
as
saying you'd have to say it separately. If you get to the plumbing
XYZ.
Page, if you get to the plumbing page and they say there was no water heater installed, we couldn't inspect it. You're not saying they have to say that separately, too.
No, I think it's okay if it's on the report with an asterisk.
Right. An asterisk.
Yeah, I mean, we're reasonable.
Yeah. I think it still qualifies as a product, as a home inspection report, even though maybe not all the elements of the report were there for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is a party that has an interest in limiting what we report on could, I mean, this could happen among offices, it could be rapid change in the industry, they could want to not have us report on so many things, so they direct that to go on.
So the pendulum is swinging, is what you're saying. Because back in 2000, we created this committee specifically because they wanted control over what we do, and
right.
and wanted us to.
Now they want more control.
More control, but us to do less. Okay, they wanted us to take full responsibility for our house, and now they want us to only take partial responsibility.
Anyway, well, my fear is if there was a rotation to pre-listing inspections, then they have a large interest. That part, that side of the transaction has a big interest in making the report small and not scary and all that. So for that reason, if it became passed along as the home inspection report, the public's in a dangerous position.
If this is relevant or we could tie it in. A couple years ago, I wrote a letter, an article in the Reporter about pre-listing. They asked the Reporter, quarterly or monthly magazine, about pre-listing inspections and why we should avoid them. And I ended up with about a 15 email back and forth with an attorney in California. And he actually sent me a disclosure, which I put in my report, and I did not put it in the agreement, because if you put it in the agreement, subsequent viewers of the report don't see the agreement. So it's actually at the very beginning of the structure, it says, notice, this inspection is performed for Dave Schwartz's client on this date, and it's only good for 45 days, and it's not good for anybody but Dave Schwartz for that 45-day period. And I put that right at the beginning of my structural page, because he said, once you do it for a list for a seller, it's not unreasonable for a buyer who gets this to assume that it's now their report. Oh, look, I bought a home that already came with the report. So
another way to protect yourself.
I don't know how we could incorporate that.
So let's all just think about this potential.
Let us know if you want to continue it as an agenda.
I do want to continue.
But before we move off this, are they still disclosing everything that they know about the properties in their spuds? I mean, that's going to still be true?
To the extent
the funny papers?
They're doing it right now.
So anybody who does a pre-listing inspection by a good home inspector should know everything wrong with their house within reason, right? And so they would have to disclose that whole thing. This is why I don't think it's going to take off.
But here's where you get into a problem. When you do an inspection for a buyer, you don't have to move personal property. If there's a car in the way of the attic, you couldn't get in the attic. If the gas was off, you couldn't test a furnace. If you do an inspection for a seller, you can't use those. Because he owns that home. He can go out there and move that car. He can get the gas turned on. He can tell you everything about it. So part of our protection in our standards that are there to protect us goes away once you do it for the seller. Because now you can't say there are 15 boxes in the way of the electrical panel, I couldn't get there. If you're doing it for the buyer, yeah, you're not allowed to move them. But if you're doing it for the seller, then you'd be outbound to say, hey, move these boxes, I need to get there.
I think you can still consider yourself a guest in the home, all right, and not... And without the ability to move, even if you're working for a guy who owns the house, I think that you can still get away with that. I don't see that as.
I've written a couple times that I couldn't get in the attic because the only access was in the garage over a car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually they move the car and I go back and inspect the attic. But if I'm doing it for the seller, then I say move your car. I need to get in the attic.
Guys, is this too simplistic to say if something like this comes to the board? They either intended it to be a home inspection pursuant to the standards, or they intended it to be less than that. If they intended it to be a home inspection, then we get into the complied, didn't comply, and that gets into some of the stuff you're talking about. If they didn't intend for it to be a home inspection, did you notify your client, did you not?
Mm-hmm.
If we find that they did, we have nothing more to say.
Mm-hmm.
If we find that they didn't, there's a potential ethical issue,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's exactly right. That's why I feel we don't need to do anything.
And so I just throw that out there for the thought process as we think about this.
Yeah, but I just would rather let people know. I mean, we have nothing to lean on if we're trying to educate
our membership.
No, the associations are the educators. We are the disciplinarians.
But the board hasn't even...
Is this analogous? Do we do anything? You know, we always get designers that are not practicing architecture. We've got requirements for architects. We bust people who are designers practicing architecture. But we don't really have language that says, hey guys, if you're not going to fully practice architecture and you're only going to do design, you've got to do something different.
I mean, we do note that the person, obviously in the investigation, the person's not registered.
Right.
That's our big hook.
That's a registration.
Yeah. You know, it's the registration. And it's almost like a presumption that they're not registered, so their work is substandard. But we don't really hold them responsible for the substandard work because it can't really be evaluated because the person isn't registered.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Forget it. Well, I just, if we just make me happy and keep
it on. Do you
want to
write an article for the newsletter?
No, I don't know where I stand on it, actually. You know, I don't.
I think it's an association purview. You want to teach the people? Teach them at ASHI. Teach them at NAHI. You know, get the word out and let the parallel guys teach them. You know, that type of stuff. It's like the architecture. If you said that you had architecturally designed home improvements, you need a license for that. But if you said something like aesthetically designed home improvements, you might be able to get away with it, right?
Yep.
So there's a... That's the difference we're looking at here, and I don't think we need to go there, David, but that's just my opinion. Okay. I think it's just going to...
Well, our agenda is kind of lean these days, so I'm just going
to... The public wants
to
be heard.
Nice!
I think he's absolutely right. Your strong point is education. Education and all of your members and people who do the work knowing is the strong point. The weak point is if there's a complaint filed and they have to come in for review and to the board. So the emphasis should be on education and everybody in that professional endeavor knowing.
And I'll just say this, in 5 years ago, this wouldn't be true, but now there is so much free education offered on the web that the attendance in NAHI and ASHI classes has dwindled. We used to have classes over 100. Now we've got classes of 20.
Wow.
So most of the education they're getting is about tile roofs, not about Arizona statutes and the BTR rules. So that's where I think Dave's concerned is that you can't really get the word out to them through associations anymore.
The other thing is, so like, what if we got a call to do a roof-only inspection and we did it and we did
call
a report?
Call a roofer.
Yeah.
Wait, no.
What if, roof inspection?
What if, is, what, and that got a complaint at the board, what's the board going to do with that?
I don't know.
You'd have to throw it out. If the guy was smart, he would say roof inspection, not home inspection.
But does this board hold members or registrants responsible for the one subject area of a home inspection report or not?
I would say no, but let's expand that something. But say he typed out a report and said, on this date I inspected the roof and I found this and this wrong. And there's no mention in there anywhere else about plumbing, roofing, or electrical or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody filed a complaint. Would you consider that a...
What's the question? What do you think, Doug?
You know, I haven't had that scenario posed from a home inspector, a complaint against a home inspector. I mean, occasionally you get a call, you know, somebody inspected the roof, but it was a roofing person.
Gotcha.
You know, check with ROC if you get a complaint.
Right.
So we just don't know how
to get
calls on these partial inspections. I got one yesterday from a home inspector.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know what to do. I mean, it sounds intriguing, just, you know.
Well, follow the standards. The standards tell them what to do. Standards say if you're not inspecting something, you have to say why you're not inspecting something. And if they're not inspecting 90% of the home, then they're going to have a long list of why I didn't do this.
I've seen that.
But the standard will let that happen. Just tell them.
Or conversely, they could say, we were hired only to inspect the roof.
Something that makes a lot of sense and clear to everybody.
Just culturally, this board, I remember back in the days of Ron Dalrymple, he had the opinion that whatever conduct occurred with a home inspector, it was the purview of this board.
And arguably, it could be ethically rather than incompetence. You know, it could be they just behave badly, and in that regard, he's right.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, you could look at the roof versus the section for a roof. Mm-hmm. You know. All right, I'm just trying to get my head around this. If we could just leave it on the agenda, that would be great.
Sure.
You guys are awesome. Thank you. Okay, we can move along from 5B. Now we're at my favorite part.
Your favorite part, okay. You know, we're still working dedicatedly on the creation of our new computer system. And I'm so glad Travis is back. He had some leave in there the past couple months, and I had to deal directly with the computer company, which is not my favorite thing. But anyway, they're still anticipating that we're going to go live sometime at the end of May, which I think is great.
Wow.
I know. Of course, I don't know if that means the whole system will be without bugs and ticks and whatever else, but we're excited about that. So for your statistics, gentlemen, we have currently, we got 10 new professional applications last month. We granted 14 last month, and we are currently in process with 31 applications and 37 renewals last month. There are 699 active home inspectors practicing, and there are 493 active firms registered.
Cool.
Yeah.
So I remember the
down a little bit from last time.
But there are 17 total complaints against home inspectors that the enforcement team is investigating. Three from 2016 and 14 in this
new year,
2017. So what other things? I'd like to tell you a little bit about the pending legislation. Are you interested in that?
Yes.
Okay. So I have 6 bills I'm tracking. Patty has more, but these are the ones that I'm telling the board about. So you gentlemen will probably be hearing something very similar at the board meeting. There's a bill, in my opinion, the most contentious bill of this session is called the Right to Work Bill, or the Right to Earn a Living Bill, actually. And it's Senate Bill 1437. Initially, it proposed fairly reasonable changes to accommodate the national concern about agency supervision that came out of that Supreme Court decision I know you guys have heard about. Rather than creating an all-new administrative oversight team, either at the AG or at Department of Administration or through the governor's office, what this bill proposed to do was beef up the governor's regulatory review council, who looks at all the states' rules and regulations, where we'll have to send all our rules to, and to the Office of Administrative Hearings, which hears most or majority of enforcement actions the boards and commissions hope to take against licensees. We were actually involved in those discussions, and I thought the language in that bill was actually reasonable, but when it was dropped, this little bit was added on, which basically says that now any occupational practice or policy will be accomplished or established in compliance with the Administrative Procedures Act. And what it does is effectively allow any person, not an aggrieved party, to sue a board or commission over a policy or procedure that they glean to be burdensome to their ability to obtain registration or certification in Arizona. And they only need to establish that
burden on them by a preponderance of the evidence. So it's more likely or not going to be difficult for me to get a job based on the board's policies or procedures. And then the bill also presumes that that party will prevail because it allows only for their ability to get attorney's fees and costs, not for the state to recoup if the state prevails in that challenge.
That's fair.
So, yeah.
Is that in line with that other, the other state, was it Pennsylvania or somewhere?
It was North Carolina with the dental board matter, yeah.
So this is related? Did they have that provision in there?
No, their Administrative Procedures Act is really different from ours. And the senator who sponsored this bill, in my opinion, initially wanted to use the regulatory oversight that's already been in place in Arizona for decades, GERC and OWA, and, you know, we have others, the Ombudsman, we have the Auditor General. There are a whole bunch of oversight agencies that really strive to keep boards and commissions in check to avoid what happened in North Carolina from happening in Arizona. So initially the bill was, you know, to revamp, maybe bolster some of the language in those, and then this particular thing was added on. And what it means in real world is some institute or third party like the Goldwater Institute or the Institute for Justice could decide that Joe Smith, poor home inspector wannabe, was overly burdened by the requirements the board has to become registered, like using our report checklist supplement was burdensome, or
30 parallels.
Yeah, or, you know, our fee, although the fee and the 30 parallels are established in rules, so we're not sure if that will qualify, but things we have in policy might be subject to serious scrutiny by the courts. Well, actually not. It would just be by a preponderance of the evidence. So the bill initially, when it was dropped, used the words rule and regulation, which was more onerous, meaning they could challenge our fees and our other requirements, like I don't want to have to inspect a pool, or I don't want to have to inspect electrical components. They're requiring me to do that in rule, and that's overly burdensome to me. So that at least has been modified. This bill is going to be heard in Senate government on Wednesday, tomorrow at 2 p.m. So we'll see what happens with it, but in all likelihood, it'll pass.
Really?
Yeah, so I have taken on the board's behalf a neutral position, which makes me available for questions if they have them, and they probably won't want to have them of me, but you never know. I may feel compelled to address some of my concerns on the constitutionality of the language they're proposing, but regardless, it'll be an interesting debate.
Now, when you first started this, you said that it gives the aggrieved person the right to sue the board or
the state. And the board.
So it's like the board of directors here could be?
Or the agency.
The agency. So I don't expect you guys would be named, but the board members.
We're not a board, we're just a committee.
Right, but the board members could be named.
And that's what I was asking. Mm-hmm. Did it mean just the Arizona Board of Technical? Would it actually mean the board of directors and the individuals?
Legislators would want to hand all that over to the board.
Frequently named.
Yeah, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the executive director would be named. They name, you know,
anyone. They name everybody,
right. And, you know, it's just a way for these think tanks to earn some money off the state, which I have a serious problem with.
That's awful.
I mean, frivolous lawsuit, hello, waiting to happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, it should have said aggrieved party instead of person, in my opinion, and it should have said prevailing party instead of person. So that the state has a chance to recoup some of the costs from what will obviously be frivolous lawsuits.
Get rid of frivolous lawsuits if they might have to pay your attorney's fees too.
Right. So anyway, that's coming up. We also, remember the alarm fingerprint bill that we proposed last year? That was going to make our process of collecting fingerprints and storing fingerprints more easy or easier, blah, can't speak today. And that, you know, was held last session by then Speaker Gallin because he was tired of the alarm industry issue generally. And the industry apparently really liked the idea, and so they had Cox and ADT are together, and their lobbyists have resurrected that bill with some minor changes. For instance, they want us to issue a provisional license to people pending their clearance card coming through FBI DPS. But it's nothing that we can't live with if we can get the ability to do, you know, send them for clearance cards rather than us having to maintain these fingerprint cards and ask people to submit new ones every year. It's kind of lunacy. Whereas the clearance card is good for 6 years, and it actually has better coverage in terms of reporting to us when someone, one of our registrants, has been arrested. DPS will notify us if there's a fingerprint clearance card on file for 6 years. So now we have this, you apply 1 year, you submit us a card, and then when you renew for your second year, you submit a new card. There's a gap of time, almost 12 months, where we wouldn't know if there was any criminal activity, plus the heavy burden of paperwork and confidentiality and all of that would be reduced, in my opinion, if we allow DPS to do it. So I think it's a good bill, and with industry in favor of it, it has, I think, already passed through its first, I think it was in Commerce, right?
Yes.
It was in the Commerce Committee, and it passed with just a couple minor amendments earlier this month, and then it was in Rules this week, I think on Monday. So it's on its way, so hopefully it will make it all the way through this year. There's an industry bill that the professions are worried about, Senate Bill 1188, which really kind of strong-arms vendors like engineers, architects, landscape architects through the procurement process that the state has. I don't know what to say other than they're being forced to be like really low bidders.
Essentially, rather than following the current RFP process, and somebody essentially wins the bid based on a combination of three things, the department administration can choose who, you know, what final people he wants to talk to and essentially try to negotiate the price down. So, which is something they've already been doing. So,
but yeah,
price
but
versus qualification.
Right, right. Then there were two bills dropped this week or late last week, which was the last week for bills to be dropped. One proposes reducing staff at all state agencies and then authorizing the Joint Legislative Budget Committee to determine the appropriate level of staffing each agency should have and possibly then remove from the agency budgets funding for those positions that no longer are here. And you may know that we are appropriated currently for 25 positions, and Patty and I determined that being lean and efficient, we could operate with only 21. So we have four vacant positions, but I'm utilizing almost all the personal services, meaning all the salary money, to pay my staff slightly better for doing a lot and efficiently. Mm-hmm. So I'm a little concerned about that. And then there's a bill that proposes to reduce agency budgets by 1% over the next 5 fiscal years to fund the governor's plans for improved educational systems in Arizona. And the money would be given to Department of Ed and Department of Child Safety. So we're
a total of 1% or 1% a year?
1% a year for 5 years. So
they would appropriate money and then take 1% out, which
right.
Makes, you know.
So, did you want to add anything on any of the other bills?
There are a couple of interest. I'm watching, you know, general licensing, how could licensing requirements change, consolidation, other bills that are impacting other agencies on consolidation to see how essentially they would do that to us if they choose to go down that road. The one that may change our law is there's a bill, there's a lot of bills having to do with people with recent criminal convictions and coming out of jail, getting them to work. And one of them is that the boards, anybody in the state would have to issue a license to somebody who's still on criminal probation, who's recently left jail or recently convicted, and they're under certain kinds of restraints, and that, of course, impacts the home inspector law where you can't.
Yeah, you have the 5-year felony bar. Yeah.
Right.
And like most of the bills that are dropped, it's just so broad it hits everybody without kind of looking at what are the differences among regulated groups.
Mm-hmm. How does that immediately amend all the other, like it would just take away and would wipe out our section?
Bar? I think they have to be specific in what provisions of the Arizona Revised Statutes it addresses. So as long as our statute isn't included, I'd say we're fine to continue with the felony bar.
So it sounds like the most troublesome is 1437.
In my opinion, it is.
I just wonder, because, you know, I can do what I can to get people to call and write, but I wonder if the realtors are seeing this as trouble as well, you know, get those big...
Well, and it's interesting because it will affect every state agency, so Department of Real Estate, Department of Transportation, any policy or procedure that they have in place, someone can argue is burdensome to their ability to earn a living. And
it's fatal for them, too.
So. Yeah, so everybody is looking at this.
I don't understand why it looks like it's going to pass so easily. It seems like it's taking away legislative authority and handing it to the courts.
Right.
Legislators generally aren't in favor of that, right?
Well, yeah, but it's also the governor.
Governor's drill.
You know, thumb squishing. So, I don't know, you know, if it was a campaign promise that was made or what, but this is definitely being sponsored by the Goldwater Institute.
Yeah. So the amendments that we'd love to have would be the one about prevailing parties, fees and costs and all that, right?
I think it makes more sense to,
and the other was,
instead of any person, should be an aggrieved party or a prevailing party.
And one version of a amendment has aggrieved, but another one doesn't have it in there, so
we don't know
what's
going on.
You know,
pretty one-sided.
And the legislature doesn't readily comply with the open meeting law, so we don't see the amendments until sometimes right before the committee meets.
Right. So, so the other one was the only people that could bring it would be an aggrieved party rather than a person. So those are the things. Is there anything else that'd be really nice to have on killing it?
I think a higher burden of proof rather than just by preponderance.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think it's going to make it hard for me to get certified or registered. You think?
So there's only what is there? How many are there factors besides preponderance?
Oh well. To sue in civil court, it's clear and convincing, right?
Clear and convincing. Clear,
well, no, it's preponderance.
Is it preponderance?
Clear and convincing comes into play for things like punitive damages or some aspects. But preponderance is typically a civil standard.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think it's going to harm me isn't preponderance of the evidence.
Okay,
that's
good.
Speculation.
Okay. Well, and I think it also, you know, it starts off talking about a regulation needs to be there on behalf of the public welfare. So I think that's part of the burden. They have to be able to prove that licensing requirement isn't necessary for the public welfare. But
which has got to be a big hill to climb. But
I would think that would be hard to prove, especially when you can go to, you know, 37 other states that have similar legislation or registration requirements. So it's not like you're doing something that's not done in all the other states. I don't know if they all require a fingerprint thing, but
we do it much better.
Yeah, than most. Most don't have any type of parallel inspection thing. That's the one thing that that's unique to us.
So there you have it. That's my report, gentlemen.
So when's the state going to read you guys alone to get some work done around here?
That'd be awesome.
Okay. Well, thank
Cover
you, Melissa.
Cover your back.
Next is committee chairman's report. The only thing I have is that we have a lobbyist, I'm sure you
Rory.
Guys know, right? Rory.
Yeah, she's been in the discussions over 1437
right.
on behalf of the Nursing Association, so.
Because everybody's worried about this one. Huh?
Mm-hmm. She made some really good points. I was at the meeting, and that's good input.
Yeah, she's solid. And then I spoke with her this morning, actually, and she made it sound like, you know, at least this year, the consolidation of the boards is probably not going to happen.
I think so, knock wood. The health reg boards are being forced to move into that building, but just a physical relocation of individual boards. Who knows what's going to happen
next
session.
Right.
You know, but for now, knock wood, I think we don't have to worry about our consolidation under DOA or deregulation of any of our professions this session. But we still have strike-alls to worry about and the budget. He can still do funky stuff in the budget. So we're not out of the woods yet, even though this is the last week for committees, initial committees to hear the bills. So.
But it would be pretty rare to do a strike-all on something that...
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
But in the budget, you never know.
Right. Well, and it sounds like those two are what he's getting in lieu of is... controlling the board size and then 1%.
Yeah, that was my thought too.
That's what he's, okay. Yeah, so that's what I heard. We're not likely to face it this year, but next year's a whole nother year. So got to keep watch. Other than that, I don't think I have anything else. Other than what I've seen with trying to stay in front of what can happen, and sorry again about canceling the meeting we had set. I didn't control. Yeah, I know you wanted to be here. I let you down. I'm so sorry. That's all I have. So as far as future agenda items, if we could just continue B, and you know, if there's nowhere to go with it, that's fine, but at least it's on there.
5B.
Which one?
5B.
I'm sorry, 5B.
B, what's with that? Okay.
And I don't think we need to talk about verbal anymore. That's pretty well decided. So it would just be abbreviated home inspection reports, I guess. Unless we want to change the name of it. And then we might want, when we put it on there, we might want to say also that review, discussion, and recommendation. Or I guess whatever. Allowing us to take action if we decide to. If you guys would think about the implications of what could happen if folks don't want to see full home inspection reports anymore.
Yeah, wonderful.
And is there anybody else have any ideas for anything else we need to do? Work?
You guys can always let us know.
Yeah.
So.
I can't think of anything offhand.
Okay. And I don't know that that's really an urgent need, so how far do you want to put the next meeting off till? Or
May?
What
do you think?
Right before summer? And then
May is good.
So.
Can always go June, right after.
May 9th, May 11th. You guys care?
I never care. Whenever you need me, I'll show up.
So why don't we say, or wait, today's Wednesday, right? Yeah, today's Wednesday. Do we normally meet on?
It is Tuesday.
Well, I was going to say, you're on California time there or something.
I'm getting ready to go on vacation.
If it's Wednesday, I shouldn't be here.
Losing it. When you're on vacation, you definitely lose it, and I'm already losing it now. So let's go with the 9th, if we could.
May 9th.
You good?
Good. And we're good at 9:30, gentlemen?
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
okay.
Please.
Perfect.
All right. And then we just have
That's it, Mr.
a motion to adjourn.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we adjourn.
Second.
Wow. Stereo.
Cool.
Any opposition to that one?
Can't think of one.
Okay, we're adjourned.
Excellent.